Hello and welcome to Ditching Hourly. I'm Jonathan Stark. Today I'm joined by Joel Miller. Joel is co-owner and project manager at The Sky Floor, a web design and marketing company in the Chicago area. I asked Joel to come on Ditching Hourly to share with you his first experiences using value pricing for project work. Enjoy. Hey Joel, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Could you start by telling folks a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I am a web designer primarily. Really, we do all kinds of design work. So graphic design, print design. It just turns out to be probably like 60 to 70% web work in any given season. Mm-hmm. And that's my business is called The Sky Floor. And we work with really any size business. I mean, if someone comes along and they want to use us and we can convince them of the value we provide, then we'll work for them.
Excellent. And how do you price your work?
Right now, it's still a mixture. I mean, we've been moving slowly towards value pricing, and which is awesome. I mean, there's really no better way to do it. Hourly is just a quagmire, and we're really trying to move out of any contracts that involve hourly work.
Yes, believe me, I know. So the reason we ended up jumping on the call is because you had sent in an email where you had this sort of aha moment, or I think you used the word epiphany. Could you talk about that?
Right. So we've been slowly moving towards value pricing, but oftentimes we go in and we talk to a client and they really don't understand what value they're even asking for us to provide. Mm. So they want a new website, let's say, and to them, it's just a commodity, right? They're shopping around. They think they need a new site because maybe someone like the president said, we need a new website. It hasn't been done in long enough. Mm-hmm. And they really don't even understand what their website's doing for their business. Is it driving leads? Is it, even if it has e-commerce, a lot of times it seems like people don't understand exactly how it behaves and what the real value is on a day-to-day basis. And so as I was reading, I was thinking, how do I have the why conversation when they don't even understand the value that they're asking for?
Right.
They don't even understand what the property means for them. And I realized that we can turn that process into a consulting phase where we help them define the value. We use the tools that we have to look at what the website's doing, how it's performing, where leads are coming from, and really actually get into the details of how it impacts their business. And then we can take that and set ourselves up to be the experts for the next stage, but also provide something and get paid along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's that's one of the funny things about hourly. One of the things that really scares me about it is that someone can come to you and say, hey, we need this a website refresh. It's been since the 90s. We haven't done anything. It looks really old. Could you, you know, we understand that you're a web developer. One of our friends referred us to you. And can you give us, you know, and what's your hourly rate?
Right.
And you know, most people just jump on that and say whatever their hourly rate is. And then the client's like, okay, great. Can you send us an estimate? And
right.
So now we're already down this path of talking about money and putting together an estimate. And we think it's going to be whatever, 100 hours. And no one's ever discussed why you're doing it, what
right.
the goal is. You know, a refresh, that's not a very specific goal. You know, are you trying to maybe attract a different clientele? What's wrong with the current website? Why not just leave it the way it is? Really?
Right.
I mean, yes, we can both see that it looks dated, but what problem is that causing? We're all just assuming there's a problem, and I might be assuming a different problem than you're assuming. So if I go in trying to fix the wrong thing because we haven't discussed what it was and just make it look pretty, at the
right.
end of the project, there's a pretty safe bet that that no specific goal has been achieved because there wasn't one, at least an agreed upon one. And if the one that the developer or the designer feels that they're trying to reach is not the one that the client subconsciously wanted to reach, then the client's not going to be happy.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it doesn't matter if you're just the world's best genius at estimating hours, you're going to be wrong. You're going to be wrong to a certain amount. And then you get into that cycle of, well, what are you really doing? Why did this take longer? And just trying to like guess on an amount of hours. I mean, you can overquote on the hours, but then you're kind of heading towards some sort of lame or bad version of value pricing.
Exactly. Yep.
You might as well at that point just take a look. What does this project actually mean for the company or for the business? Mm-hmm. And how can I achieve that goal? And what's that worth to you?
Right. How are we going to measure progress toward that goal?
Right.
How big of a goal is that? Is it a big deal? If it's not a big deal, we're probably not a good fit.
Right.
And oh, by the way, when you get to what you think is the end of the project, if the goal that their unstated or subconscious goal hasn't been reached, that's when scope starts creeping, because now all of a sudden they're micromanaging you and saying, well,
right,
can we get the logo bigger or make the black a little blacker, or, you know, do this and do that. And they start trying to mush around your beautiful piece of art.
Right.
Because it's not going to do what they didn't tell you they wanted it to do. Because no one asked them. No one asked them what they wanted it to do. They jump straight to, you know, I've done this. I'm not, you know, I sound accusatory by saying they, but, you know, I've done it too, where you just jump straight to, well, what do you want it to look like? And, you know, what sort of feel, what other websites look like the way you want it to look like? And you kind of go for comps and you just try and get a feel for a bunch of really tactical things that almost would just be almost a miracle for them to magically align and achieve some unstated goal if no one knows what it is.
Right. Definitely. Yeah.
So I'm curious, do you remember the first time you value priced a project? I'm curious how that went, or if you had any trouble, or if it was just awesome right out of the gate.
I think the only trouble is personal, really. I mean, there's this moment where you just sort of feel like, is this going to work? Because you're so used to doing it the other way. And you think, I think we sort of grow up, I don't know if it's an American thing or just a worldwide thing, but we grow up associating our time with money and how much that is. Because if you have any other jobs, you work for someone, you know, they hire you, you get $9.25 an hour or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so you think this is just how it works. The cool thing about working for myself is I can charge $50 an hour. But that's not really, I mean, The things we don't like about working for someone else by the hour really are going to come true, even if you're working for yourself, quote unquote. Besides getting over that gap, or, you know, the kind of pause, the pushback on sending out that first proposal, it actually went really well. I mean, when I started doing it, it was kind of in a moment where we were extremely busy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this sense of like, well, this is a great time to try it. And if they say no, they say no. It's not going to ruin my week. But if they say yes, it's going to make it. So
that's a great point. A lot of times I tell people that are in a tough position, maybe they aren't getting enough leads and they are having cash flow problems, that it's not a good time to try this.
Right.
Because they're going to undervalue themselves, because they're just going to be kind of, you know, desperate's a strong word, but it's going to be hard for them to negotiate from a strong position. They're going to be very open to compromise if they really, really, really need the money.
Definitely.
And if you do a value priced, if you think you're going to do a value priced quote in a situation like that, almost always you're going to price it too low, because you're thinking that, oh, I need to lower the price to get the gig, and
right,
I really need the gig. And then you're on the hook, because you probably, you know, if you didn't do a why conversation properly and you don't know what the real goal is, then scope creep can come in, and you didn't price it high enough in the first place, and
right,
you're going to feel like you're losing money and that you're their slave, and
So
it's much, much better to not to wait for an up period on the roller coaster and say,
right,
okay, we don't really need this job, so let's just take a swing at it. And if it blows up in our face, well, you know, we will survive because we've got the
right
cash flow. And if the customer takes it, great. And if they don't take it, then no big deal.
You know, right. You just get to learn what to do better, basically.
Exactly.
I mean, every pitch, every chance to talk to a new client or potential client is really, I mean, it's a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been doing this now for 8 years, I guess, or 9 years in this current formation of my business, the Sky Floor. And there's not a month that goes by where I haven't learned something new that changes just a little bit of my how I go about things in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I think it's kind of scary if you stop doing that.
Yeah. Yes. Everything's practice for the next time.
All right.
So excellent. Would you have any words of wisdom or encouragement or advice for people who are maybe in that self-doubt position where they're maybe thinking about it, but haven't quite pulled the trigger?
I mean, advice I would give to someone who's kind of in that beginning stage of wondering if they should do this, and they're kind of doubting, is this going to work? I would actually say try it on a new client, because then you don't have to teach someone anything new about what you're doing, and they probably won't be completely thrown off guard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just personal experience from our stories. And also just swing. I mean, give it a shot. You know, it's really, even though sometimes things feel pretty dire or intense in a moment, especially when, you know, you're the buck stops with you. Mm-hmm. It's really not. I mean, you know, next month, next year, it's a new thing. It's a new set of joys and frustrations with any work. So just taking those chances and putting yourself out there and moving to the kind of business you want to be running, because I think we all have an idea of the business we want to be running. Mm-hmm. But there's various roadblocks personally and externally that prevent us from doing it. But start making moves towards that.
Excellent. That's a great place to leave it. So Joel, thanks so much for coming on. Where can people find out more about you?
They can visit us at theskyfloor.com. That's theskyfloor.com.
That's it for today. I'm Jonathan Stark, and this is Ditching Hourly. Thanks for listening. The next time someone asks you for your hourly rate, I'd like you to say, I don't have one. To learn what to say next, visit valuepricingbootcamp.com to sign up for my free email course. Again, that URL is valuepricingbootcamp.com.